Back on Downtown Tuesday afternoon, let's talk a little Celtics basketball. To do that, we welcome in from the Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast, our friend John Corrales, who's here to tell us that the Celtics are back.
Yeah, it seems like they're in the midst of a turnaround here. It would be nice to see if they can get a couple more wins on this road trip to solidify that, but sure feels like they're in the midst of a turnaround.
It was nice to see them, do in the fourth quarter what other teams usually do to them.
Yeah, that Denver comeback, it was kind of funny to see Denver kind of hanging their heads and slumping their shoulders and looking like the Celtics did for a lot of February. I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, Denver at the time had been coming off a rough stretch, and they had won a bunch of games in a row, but they played a lot of games as well. And so they looked tired and looked a lot like the Celtics did when they were tired. And that's today's NBA. But the Celtics going out there, and you can go back three games in this winning streak against the Knicks, against Minnesota, three different kinds of games. But games that you could easily say, yeah, the Celtics would have lost that game 2 months ago. But they fought back and they won those.
Obviously, Jason Tatum's record-setting performance drew a lot of attention. But as you pointed out on Boston Sports Journal, it's not just that one game. It's, let me quote you, it's Tatum's supercharged efficiency that's leading the way to recent success.
Yeah, he has he's started to get to the rim a lot more. He's upped his output at the rim. 6% more of his offense is coming there. 6% more of his shots. He's shooting 11% better at the rim, so he's finishing a lot more. He's averaging almost three more points per game at the rim. And if you expand it out to within 5 feet, he's doing even more. And over the past three games, he almost hasn't missed. He's 16 of 19. In that area. So Tatum getting to the rim, he's not getting any more shots. He's still taking about 20 shots per game. He's still taking the same amount of threes. He's just eliminating some of those mid-range shots and getting all the way to the rim rather than fading away. And you look at it, I think it's no coincidence that goes from, you know, the further you get away from his COVID diagnosis, I think that helps. I think he's no longer relying on some of those bad habits of getting into fadeaways. And it kind of reminds me of last year, when he needed to change his shot profile, and he did. And that kind of coincided with an uptick in his performance and a real breakout for him. So I think him getting more efficient and taking those shots at the rim and getting away from the mid-range shots that are very bad for him, as much as he loves to take them, he does not shoot well on those. Taking the threes, getting to the rim, and uptick in getting to the line, that's why he's Conference Player of the Week. Because he's doing the things that in today's NBA make you an efficient, potent scorer.
And if you're a visual learner, then I would say that alone would be good reason to get that subscription to Boston Sports Journal that you've been mysteriously holding out on, because John, you illustrate it perfectly here with a couple of different shot charts. First, the game against Denver, and then one from earlier in the season with Brooklyn.
Yeah, you can see the X's kind of spread across the middle of the shot chart. And when you look at the game against Denver, there's only a couple. And you can see just the distribution of where he's getting. So much more has gotten into the lane. And what that also shows is, hey, when you get into the middle of the lane, you can collapse a defense. There's resulting swinging of the ball movement, getting guys open shots. I mean, that's how you make your teammates better. When you're looking at a superstar player and what we want Jason Tatum to become, this is the beginning of it, really. Like, we've seen him be a star, and we've seen him have superstar nights, but to consistently be a superstar player, this is how it's got to be. Get in there, get into the paint, either score, be efficient, or swing the ball and use the attention you draw to make your teammates better.
Great players make adjustments, too, and as you pointed out, he did a similar thing last year at about the midway point in the season and realized he needed to make some changes.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens when you rely on those fadeaways and all of that. Like, I think last season when once he made the All-Star team and he went on that big run, you saw the shots at the rim really start to go up, and the efficiency start to go up because he was figuring out how to finish. And for Tatum, a lot of that is jumping off of 2 feet rather than trying to swoop in off of 1 foot, and that momentum takes him fading away. When he goes into the lane and he jumps off of 2 feet, it means he's planting and he's going towards the rim. I can't tell you how much of a difference that makes for officials, because when you're flying in off of 1 foot and you have a tendency to fade like Tatum does, even if he gets hit, he's still moving in that direction. The referee doesn't see a change in direction. It's hard to discern some of that contact. When you're planting and jumping towards the rim and you get hit and your body kind of changes direction, that's a visual cue for the ref to be like, oh, yeah, he must have gotten hit. Look at the way he's moving now. So that's important for him to do. It's important to get him those extra free throws, because those become huge momentum changers in games, not only for him to get more points, but for him to put other teams in the bonus. And that big 16 free throw performance against Minnesota, a lot of those get into the bonus. So now every time somebody drives, that person's getting to the free throw line as well. Tatum's getting to the free throw line more without even having to put up a shot. That's how you start to either make comebacks or build leads.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. No Evan Fournier. He didn't make the trip, still in that protocol for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I don't think he's, you know, hopefully when the Celtics get back, it won't take much longer, but it's still unclear. He must have tested positive at this point. They don't say anything, but you can just kind of assume. And it's going to be, great to have him coming off of the bench whenever things do get back into order for him. But right now, look, the Celtics are able to kind of make do, but this is going to actually really help when you can push, Semi Ojeleye a little further down into more of an emergency role. And some of these guys, these fringe guys, can kind of be more in where they belong. And hopefully for Fournier, coming off of the bench, it doesn't take him that much longer to get back into things. The one good thing is the Celtics do have next week, surprisingly, this season, 2 days off in a week.
Wow.
So a little bit extra time for him to come back.
All right, tonight, what are a couple of keys for success against the Trailblazers?
Well, I think Damian Lillard has come back down to earth a little bit. He had been averaging about 30 points per game coming into April. In April, he's down to about 20. He's not shooting particularly well, so throw the kitchen sink at him. And then when Enes Kanter comes in the game, we know Enes Kanter very well. Attack him in the pick and roll. Really make him defend. And just whenever they have the opportunity, just attack that. And again, see if they can get to the line. That's going to be a real important thing. So it'll be interesting to see which way Brad Stevens goes with his matchups. Does he put Robert Williams in against Enes Kanter and match him up against, the guy who really can't defend getting back to the rim, and just hope they go lob, lob, lob like crazy? Or do they go with Robert Williams against Yusuf Nurkic and try to take advantage of a guy who's still kind of working his way back from injury, and then hope that Tristan Thompson can still be pretty effective in the pick and roll against Kanter, and then keep Kanter off the offensive boards? So it'll be interesting to see how he matches up there. But those two things, I think, if the Celtics can do those two things, they could probably win this, maybe even easily.
Away from the Celtics for just a moment, scary injury last night to Jamal Murray. He was able to get off the court under his own power, but it looks pretty bad from what we're seeing today.
Yeah, torn ACL. It's just a brutal injury, not just for, the Denver Nuggets. Like, Jamal Murray now is going to be out for a long time. The timing of this in mid-April, now they're trying to get next season back on track, so this is really a year-long thing, so he might not be back to himself or trying to get back to himself until next year's playoffs. So Denver now loses out on one of their two best players. Obviously, Jokic is their best player, and he's an MVP candidate, but obviously Murray's the second best guy. You lose him for a playoff run. You hope somebody can step up, but that's going to be really tough. And now, because it happened so late in the season, that's going to really impact next season. And it's really brutal timing for the Denver Nuggets, who were, despite that collapse to the Celtics, were starting to look good. Now they've not only lost to the Celtics, they lost another game, and now they lost their star guard. It's so horrible. And it really highlights, you know, this season of how these high usage guys are really vulnerable to injuries. And it's a real shame to see.
Absolutely. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll visit with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.